seated.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I am Wayne. I'm here to read the local budget. February 15th, 2020, the angel recorded every offering made to God. In Testimonies to the Churches, Volume 2, page 18, Ellen White notes the following statement. I was shown that the recording angel makes a faithful record of all, of every offering dedicated to God and put into the treasury. She continues on page 520 with the following words. Duties in this direction are binding up upon all who profess to be followers of Christ. God's law specifies their duties to their fellow men. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In February, we celebrate love in a secular society. But from a spiritual perspective, God also celebrates the importance of love toward our fellow human beings. Mrs. White is very explicit in stating that our loving our neighbor is a duty for all of us who profess to be followers of Christ. Such an imperative is inescapable. God's desire that we serve and love those who closest to our spheres of confidence and influence. These could be our neighbors, coworkers, or anyone we come into contact with regularly. This week, our offering is dedicated to the local church budget. Our local churches have ministries that reach out corporately to our local communities. Our neighbors, let us be generous with our tithes and offerings so that our outreach may be a substantial blessing for all those who receive it. Would you please rise, the deacons, and bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that we can give it back to you, that we can see what you do with the tithe you tell us to give you back. Thank you so much for our pastor, for our church, for all these many things that you have allowed us to do, that you give us money and work that we can give back to you. We love you so much. We praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's time for our children's offering. After the children collect the offering, Michelle will do the children's story. Will all the children come forward, please?
Thank you.
Have you ever wanted to be a missionary? Me too. Well, this is a story about a missionary. He was his first time being a missionary, so he wasn't sure what to do on everything, but he had God with him, and he was going to go somewhere and start a school, start a church. So he went out. It was a long ways away from here, and he went to this town, and he went to the leaders in this village, actually, and he says, I want to start a school, and I want to start a church about God, teach people about God. And the people in that town says, we already have our God, so we don't need your God. And he talked to a few more people, and they all said the same thing. We have our gods. We don't need your God. And so he went to the next village, and he said the same thing there. He says, I want to start a church, and I want to start a school and teach the people about God. And they had already heard about him because the people from the other village had already sent people ahead. So they said, no, we don't need it. We got our own gods. We're good. So he knew God was sending him, and he knew that something would happen, something would work out. And so he went, and he had faith. He went to the next town. And as he was going to the next town, he was in his van and went around a corner, and there was a school bus full of kids. He had only choice to do two things. He could hit the bus with the kids, or he could go off the bank. Well, he loved kids, and he didn't want to hurt any kids, and so he went off the bank. And the people from the bus got off, and somebody from the village was right there, and they come down, and they say, wow, you're not hurt at all, and your car is not hurt at all. And they got some other people from the town so they could get the car back up on the road. And they said, wow, you're not hurt at all, and our kids are safe. You must have a really strong God. So then the people from the first town says, we want you to come and start a school and start a church. We want to know about your God. But the people from the second town, they says, no, we want you to come to our town and teach us about God. So then he had a problem. Well, the nice thing about God is he solves our problems. And that was a nice problem to have. So we have a real strong God. And even when things look like they're not going to go well, things aren't going the way we think they're going to go, God has a plan.
We will be making, but the first one I would like to make is that we would like to welcome our special guest today, Simona Cardwell, from the Oregon Conference Headquarters Office. Has anybody been up to Portland to the Conference Headquarters Office before? See a few hands? It's a bit of a drive from here. Anytime I go to meetings up there, I say I'm from Brookings. I think I've had one time somebody say they didn't know where Brookings was. Or else they say, that's a long ways away. So Simona has come a long ways to present a very interesting seminar this afternoon. And I would like to ask Simona if you would come forward just for a moment and tell us a little bit about what your seminar will be. And we'd like to encourage everyone to come to this. So, by the way, I forgot to mention, Simona is the director of the Risk Management Department of our conference, for our state conference here in Oregon, which means matters of safety and matters of insurance and such as that. So,
that is all correct. This afternoon, I was at first just going to talk about child sexual abuse prevention, which is going to be the majority of the talk. However, it has come to my attention this week that you guys would like a little bit more in depth on church safety and just dealing with some of the issues you guys have dealt with and are continuing to deal with. So we're going to kind of put a bunch of stuff together, and hopefully we'll have some very good discussion, not just about child sexual abuse prevention, but also just about general safety. And I think even if you don't have children, there are children in your life
that I think this will pertain to, and not just help you be a better protector here at church, but also a better protector in your community, of children in our community. So it's going to be kind of broad just because of the new developments, but I hope that you guys will stay, and we'll have some good time together this afternoon.
Great. Her husband is pastor, if I understand correctly, pastor of one of the churches up in the Portland area, a very unique church with a unique outreach from everything that I understand, and she's especially qualified to be talking about the things that we're going to be talking about this afternoon, because you can share some more of that this afternoon. So what time does the bulletin say the seminar starts? 1:30. So 1:30, be here after our fellowship luncheon.
It was David who said, "I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Are we glad to be here today?
Amen.
Yes. I'm going to ask us to just shake the person that's next to us hand or give them a hug and say, "Happy Sabbath, I'm glad to be here today."
Happy Sabbath. Glad to be here.
You don't need to get up, just shake the person's hand that's next to you.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, just to make sure, that's why I'm telling you how to hold the mic. Hold it touching your chin. And do it like I said, Aaron. Clear, emphasize the
words. We're going to continue with our announcements. The notes from our week of prayer, that's from the Gemcasters presentations, they are available on the credenza, so you can get those. On Tuesday, we'll have a board meeting in room 3 at 6 p.m. On Sabbath, February 22nd, we'll have Greg Hamilton for Religious Liberty Day. Also at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we'll have another meeting. On March 27th to 29th, we'll have Oregon Prayer Conference at Twin Rocks Friends Camp in Rockaway Beach, Oregon. And if you're interested in attending, the guest speaker will be Pastor Pavel Goya. If you're interested in attending, please see me for more details. Also on February 19th, that's on Wednesday, we'll have a prayer meeting at 6 p.m. Those are all the announcements. I'm going to now read our prayer requests. This is from Chantel. Her praise is, "Safe travels to Mexico this last week with my parents." And this praise says, "Praise God for his powers to take control of our thoughts." And my prayer request is, "Prayer for the recovery from surgery for Lucille, who is recovering at home." We're going to kneel as much as possible. Let us kneel for prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your holy Sabbath, and we thank you that we can come in your presence to give you thanks and praise. You are our Creator, our Redeemer, and there's none like you. As our lesson study showed this week, Lord, that you are God who is in control, and we have no reason to fear. Once you are Lord of our lives, then we can have perfect peace because you will take care of your children. Lord, we admit that we have not always done the things that you want us to do, and we ask that you will forgive us, Lord. We pray that you will help us to trust you more. We have the privilege of prayer, and we can come and ask you for anything, and if it is your will, you will grant it unto us. So I pray, Lord, that we will never be shy, but we will come boldly before your throne, and we will ask anything, Lord, and we know that in your love you will grant them. And so today we want to ask that you will be with Lucille, who is recovering at home. We pray, Lord, that you will give her speedy recovery. For all others who are sick, we pray that you will visit them. Lord, we have so many different needs, and you know them all. And I pray that you will grant them according to your will. We pray for each person that worship here with us today. We pray that we'll give you all the thanks and all the praise. We also want to pray for Pastor as he presents the sermon. We pray that you will anoint him, and may the words that he speak be your words and not his. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives in so many ways. And we just give you all the thanks and we give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from Isaiah 54, verse 13 and 14. Isaiah 54, verse 13 and 14. I will be reading from the International Children's Bible. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and they will have much peace. I will build you using fairness. You will be safe from those who would hurt you. So you will have nothing to fear. Nothing will come to make you afraid. The word of the Lord.
Today, being a special seminar on child safety, I have chosen as a sermon topic, protecting God's kids. And I hope that I won't overlap, and I've made efforts not to overlap with the content of your seminar, but we will be talking about some spiritual truths regarding children that the Bible gives us, and spiritual protection, and things like that. We find in the Bible that children are very important. The word child, the word children, occurs almost 1,200 times in the Bible. 1,195 times in the New King James Version. And one of those scriptures is the scripture that Valentina has just read for us, and I would like for us to review it again for just a moment, if we could put that one back up on the screen. A promise from God, Isaiah chapter 54. Wonderful promises in this chapter, and this is just one of them. Verse 13 is the verse that we want to begin with. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. A wonderful promise. And who is included in that? Who are the children of Israel and the children of Abraham? Certainly, we are their children, aren't we? Those who are of faith are the sons and daughters of Abraham. And of course, the Old Testament church, the New Testament church, all believers. The promise continues in verse 14, in righteousness thou shalt be established, and a promise of freedom, security. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. So a security, a strength, a protection is given. Let's take a look at verse 17 now, because it gives more information about the power of this security that we have from God. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. What a promise of God's strength, God's protection, security, or impregnability, as is sometimes used. This is a promise that reminds us of a spiritual truth. When it says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and then it says, great will be the peace of your children, we are reminded that this security is in the knowledge of God that is transmitted to young people and to all believers. Our strength is our knowledge of God. Our security is our faith in the fact that we have a heavenly Father. Or as someone beautifully once said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And there is a great blessing of protection, spiritual protection, different kinds of protection that comes to those who trust in God. Now, I have an example. I like to use examples in my sermon, and today it is an egg-sample. Egg-sample. Christopher reminded me of that. We've got a couple of egg cartons here, and I put a plastic bag so that there won't be any problem with this. But with this example of the eggs, the egg represents the protection of God, the shell of the egg. And I'm going to need some help here, so maybe Valentina, would you like to come on up? Bailey, would you want to help too? I'd like you to take this egg. You know, an eggshell is stronger than you think. You can puncture it with something, but it's got a lot of strength in a certain way. So I want you to hold that egg, and just with one hand, can you turn around, look at everybody, and just try to grip that egg as strong as you can, okay? It's really hard to break it, isn't it? It's really hard to break it because they're so strong. If I try, it's hard to break an egg like that. But eggs are even stronger than what you might think. I'm going to see if, Valentina, could you gently try to stand on these eggs and see what happens here and if they break or not. All right. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? They don't break. Well, you don't weigh as much maybe as Bailey. You want to try, Bailey? Just go on easy. Stand up. Okay. There she is. Even strong enough to hold Bailey. Okay, thank you. You can step down. Now, what about me? I put on a few pounds even since we moved here. Trying to exercise, but it's a daily battle, it seems. But I wonder if these eggs will hold me up or not. Okay, there we go. All right. Thank you. You can go back and sit down now. You know, God made eggs to be very strong, and I'm just going to leave those right there. That's just a reminder of that little example that we used today in our introduction for our sermon. The knowledge of God is like the eggshell. We are like the inside of the egg. And God is like the eggshell. He is our protector. By extension, the church is to be a protector of young and old. By extension, the family is the agent of God to bring protection. And there's different ways that we could apply that. But our greatest protection is our knowledge of God, the presence of God in our lives. Now, I want to ask a question. So this example is interesting with these eggs, but how does it work in our lives, in the here and now, in the day-to-day life that we have in this current life that we live? I find four principles of God's protection for children, and by extension, all of us, that are found in the Word of God, and let's see how this works. The first one is that kids are protected by relationship with God and with one another and with family. And that one is found in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Now, this is a prophecy of the end times, and so it's very appropriate for us now to read this. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So this is a prophecy message, isn't it? Not about beasts, though, this time, but about relationships. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I'm glad that this text is in the Bible. It reminds us that hearts are to be brought together, and that this is part of the prophetic message of the last days. It's not only noticing a crisis or developments in the political world or other things, but actually coming together in relationship. This is God's will for his people, and especially for young people, as this text describes children and parents coming together. Satan works especially hard to destroy the relationships between parents and children, because he knows that by doing this, he can destroy a child's love for God if they have an interrupted relationship with a parent or some other caregiver, some important person in their life that occupies that role. I would just apply this practically. What kind of questions do you hear, or do the young people hear from those of us who are their parents or authority figures? If the only questions that children hear are questions like this: did you eat your breakfast? Why didn't you put your shoes back where they were supposed to go? Who left the milk out? Why weren't the dishes done? Why aren't you getting better grades in school? If the only questions, and I don't want to slam these questions to say that they have no validity, these are valid concerns. But if the only kind of question they hear from us are questions like that, there will not be a relationship that there needs to be. Here's another question, a better one to include in dealing with such practical matters as that, but how are you feeling today? Help me understand why you don't like school and why you're having a difficult time there. Help me to understand. You appear to be sad. Is there anything that is making you feel that way? I want to understand you. These are questions that will help to build a relationship. And as we try to teach our children where to put their shoes and the importance of eating their breakfast and the importance of putting the milk back into the refrigerator or getting the dishes done, let us try to make sure, by the grace of God, that is done in a context of a relationship that is secure and loving and strong as a result. Relationship is very important. It's like one of the four legs of the stool, and if you have that chair with only three legs, it might be able to stand for a little while, but it's not going to be secure, and it's probably going to fall over pretty soon. But relationship, as important as it is not enough by itself to give children a knowledge of God and the protection that comes with that. The second principle that I find in Scripture about protecting kids is that kids are protected by example. That is to say that our children find spiritual security as they see that we, as adults, practice or try to practice what we preach. It's not just the feeling of the relationship, but what do we do? Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, we have Paul's words to the young pastor Titus about the importance of example. And he uses a word that I learned as a young person with my mother who used to like to make dresses, the word pattern as the word for example. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And then it talks about doctrine and so on. But this importance of being an example or being a pattern. I remember my mother had these dress patterns and this sewing machine. I looked at these papers and they looked like such technical drawings, you know. But you can make beautiful clothes with those. And God can make a beautiful person out of the power of His grace and of His will in cooperation with God. And an example goes a long way in providing kids the security, spiritual guidance that they need. Has anybody here ever flown into or flown out of the O'Hare International Airport in Chicago? Raise your hand if you've been out of that. That's a huge airport. The story behind the naming of that airport is very interesting. There was a father who was part of the mafia in Chicago back in the day, and he had some important position in this organized crime organization, but he had a son, and he felt badly that he was providing such a poor example to his son to be involved in organized crime. And so he made a decision, I'm going to drop out of this, I'm going to come clean, I'm going to go to the police, I'm going to confess, I'm going to get out. I want my son to remember me as someone who left such a poor example in his life. This father followed through on his commitment. He dropped out of the mafia. He went to the police. And in a few weeks, he was shot. His son knew what happened. But his son grew up to become a law-abiding citizen, became a pilot in World War II, and was instrumental in saving an entire American ship from enemy fire and a group of enemy planes. And this son won special honors for this, and the O'Hare International Airport was named after him. His last name, O'Hare, which he inherited from his father. And a story of example. From someone you might not think, you know, someone is involved in organized crime, you're not imagining, say, guess what? I'm going to have an airport named after me or named after my son. If he would have said that, it certainly nobody would have believed him. And yet, because of the grace of God that worked in his life, it happened. And a change of example that was at work in him and had a wonderful influence on his son. So example is a really powerful guide to young people. But example by itself, as good as it is, as important as it is, relationship as good as it is, as important as it is not enough. There needs to be a third leg in this stool, and the scripture gives us this one, and that is that kids are protected by training. Training, guidance, teaching, instruction in the right way to live, instruction in the Word of God. We want to go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6 for this particular one. This text we probably could all quote from memory here in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Training a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's a verse that we all know. It talks about the powerful influence of training. It talks about the fact that this will have an influence on the child even into old age. Training. I heard a story, read a story, about a mother, a single mother, who had a teenage son. And she had a problem because the father was not in the picture. I don't remember if it was because the father had died or had abandoned the family or exactly why the dad wasn't in the picture, but she had a teenage son without the benefit of a fatherly example and training and so on. And so she got this idea. They were attending a church, and it was some Protestant church. There we have it. She approached a pastor and said, "Pastor, I've got a problem. My son doesn't have a father, and I am not able to provide one for him. Would you be willing to be father to my son?" And she was not asking the pastor to marry her. He was already married. He had his own family. She just wanted to know, would you be willing to occupy a position where my son, when there are important decisions that he has to make, he could go to you and ask your advice? And would you be willing to do that and have that kind of a relationship with my son? And the pastor said, "I'll be happy to." Well, a short time after this arrangement was made, the son had his first decision that he had to make, and one that he would need some guidance from. He was willing to submit to this agreement. There was a prom coming up, and he had asked a girl to the prom. And so he called the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I would like to know if I can take my girlfriend to the prom." And guess what? I got my own car. I'd like to take her. And the pastor listened, and he said, "You can take her to the prom, but take the bus, not your car." And he was trying to save this boy from the temptations that are going to come being alone in the car with his girlfriend. He agreed to the restriction and took his girlfriend on the bus, and everything was fine. And it didn't get into the trouble that some of the other kids got into. So here you have an example of training and guidance. We have from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, further instruction about this. If it's possible to put that one up onto the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is the one that reminds us of the greatest commandment of the law. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And verse 5 continues, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." That's really the most important teaching of Scripture, isn't it? The next verse, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand," signifying actions, "and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes," signifying the frontal lobe and the word of God that fills the mind. The mind and the actions and the teaching of the word of God to young people, making it attractive, making it interesting, reminding and leading and guiding. Kids are protected by training. The last leg of the stool we find is in a story in the Old Testament that we will look at, but it emphasizes the importance of physical protection of young people. Kids are protected by God in a setting of physical protection. This is maybe a more mundane thing, but it doesn't help if, you know, we've set a wonderful example and we've done a lot of teaching and we've tried our best to have a good relationship with our child if they get neglected somehow and drown on a Pathfinder outing because they weren't adequately watched and cared for while there was some kind of a swimming outing. We're talking about physical protection here. We have Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. an example of a time when young people were under threat. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So the boys were in real trouble. But we find that Moses had parents. This young boy, this young newborn, had family that believed in protection. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll get a review of this story of Moses. There went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him. Protection. She hid him 3 months. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 3, they had to put ingenuity, creativity, determination, and courage into action. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags or the reeds by the river's bank. And so they put him there in that little boat. Now we have Miriam comes into the picture. He was protected also by his sister, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. The princess was coming, verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. A plan. It worked. They knew that there would be compassion in the heart of the princess. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." It didn't take her long to figure it out, did it? She knew right away. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" A plan. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the women took the child and nursed it. And verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." A young baby boy, physically protected. I do believe that Moses came from a loving family. I do believe that Moses' parents tried to provide him education and guidance. I do believe that they probably practiced what they preached and did their best to be consistent. But they also took measures trying to make sure that their son was physically protected and physically safe. And I'm not going to give you lots of examples of that today, because that's for 1:30. Come here at 1:30 and we'll talk about how can our church be a safe place for kids? How can our families be a safe place for kids? How can we keep them safe when they're not here in the church building? And how can we enjoy this kind of protection and cooperate with God's plan of protection in this connection? Come at 1:30 today. Kids are protected by physical protection. How important is this ministry to children? Is it of high priority? We find an example of this in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. Matthew 18 and verse 6, one of the severest warnings from Jesus Christ. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me." Now, before he said this, he had taken a child and put him in the midst and told the disciples, "You must become like a little child if you're going to enter the kingdom." And then he uses the child as an example. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Serious. Is it important? Extremely important. And it certainly applies to children. It applies to new believers. And all of us are children of God. 35% of the world population is under the age of 15. The vast majority of people who receive Christ, make a decision for Christ, are between the ages of 5 and 13. Let us make sure that our church is a safe place for kids. Let us make sure that our homes are a safe place for kids. These are the candidates for the kingdom. What will our church look like in 10 or 15 years? Who will the leaders be? Our young people are the future leaders of the church. Let us make sure that the church is a safe place for them, and not only for the children, but a safe place for all veteran members. For you're all part of one family of God. God will provide for us the security that He promises through the knowledge of Him that fills our hearts and minds, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of angels, through the blessings of His grace upon us, and all that freedom from terror and freedom from fear and freedom from oppression that is promised in our text in Isaiah that we started out with. We will see the fulfillment of that promise in our lives as we trust in Him and as we follow according to His ways in His Word. We want to come to a close with our final closing hymn, a hymn for children.
Please stand for our closing hymn, page 190, Jesus Loves Me.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen.